whenever God gives a truth, He's inviting us to get established in it. Otherwise, there's no change of lifestyle. We never grow. And so last Sunday, as there was a decree that God wanted us to release, now it's the time for us to step into that and to become established in the increase of the manifestation of the kingdom of God and of the glory of God. So these are the two areas now that we will need to change our lifestyle, change the way we do things, and start to see the fruit of what a decree is all about. Start to see the fruit of what kingdom manifestation and what the glory manifestation is all about. So that's what we're going to start doing today. And again, this is what we do over here. We apply it wherever we go, at home, whatever it may be. It's how to be established in a truth. So today I want us to look at Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to just share a little bit of what the Word of God, and then we're going to put it into practice as we want to see the kingdom of God manifest in our nation. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is speaking, and so the context of his teaching here, let's go to verse 1. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And then he begins to teach about a little child and the heart of a little child, the attitude of a little child, and speaks about that heart of a child. You start to understand what greatness is in the kingdom of God. And it's that kind of purity, that kind of simple, pure faith, that kind of just a love for God, and these kind of things that Jesus starts to speak about. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus starts his ministry, and we read over there that Jesus proclaimed the message of the kingdom of God. So Jesus is teaching, and his message is all about the kingdom of God, and we've decreed for the manifestation, a greater manifestation of the kingdom of God. So we need to understand and listen and grow into a deeper understanding of the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good news in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, the disciples come to him and they say, "But Jesus," and the town wants them to stay where they are, where he is, because of all the miracles and things that are taking place. And Jesus said to them, "I must proclaim the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And so we notice there that when we read the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have to look at that through the kingdom vision. We've got to look at it. We've got to read it to begin to understand, Lord, you've come to teach about the kingdom of God. And so it's us to be able to see it like that. In the church age, we've interpreted the New Testament through the lens of church. And that's a whole different sort of way of interpreting the gospels. Now, the apostles, remember, Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the rock in which the body of Christ is established on. The apostles, that took the whole of Jesus' teaching and began to open it up and give far more insight to all of us. So we, as we read through the New Testament, we're getting a deeper insight of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Okay. So it's always a revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And so all the time, he spoke about the kingdom of his Father. And so we've been looking at that for the past few weeks, and we were going to begin to get to experience it, get to know what the kingdom of God's all about. And that's going to change our lives. It's going to bring in another dimension of a lifestyle, of how to live. I'm not talking about, you know, behaviors and that, but I'm talking about heart. I'm talking about mind. I'm talking about purpose. I'm talking about destiny. I'm talking about these things this morning, and in understanding the kingdom of God. I was asked a question during the week, what's the difference between reign, rule, when I speak about the kingdom of God and the will of God? Because I've been using that definition that the kingdom of God is the reign of God, the rule of God, and then the will of God being done. And so the general terminology for reign is the period of time that a king rules. Okay, so God is eternal. So he reigns eternal for all eternity. So when we speak about his reign, it's God is sovereign. There's no one greater than him. He reigns all eternity. Okay. When you speak about his rule, it's now his authority in action. Okay. He's now released, and this is the way. So if we look at Jesus and the cross, we see the fullness of the authority of God through his son Jesus, having authority over death, having authority over sin, having authority over Satan, having authority. So that Jesus began to demonstrate, my Father reigns. And now I'm showing you how he rules. So over sickness, disease, you name it, he's showing you how he rules. Now he's walking in the will of the Father, in obedience to the Father, because of his love for the Father. So the rule of the Father is now being made known in the obedience and through the obedience of Jesus Christ. So we as kingdom people, that's our realm in which we operate. We have a Father that reigns all eternity. So we understand from the beginning and to the end. We know the end results. We know the consequences of our death and where we go after our death, etc. We know the end picture where Satan is bound and thrown into eternal fire. We know all of those things because our Father reigns. We also know the reality now because of his Son came and dwelled within us. We experience the kingdom of God within us. So within us, we experience the peace and the knowledge of our God reigns. And that lifts us to a lifestyle of living in the reality that our Father is the supreme ruler of all. And that we also now begin to realize, because of the kingdom of God within us, that the very way of God, the law of the Spirit of life, the very power of Jesus Christ that has defeated the power of sin that used to control us, is no longer our reality. We live above that. We get tempted, but we don't have to give into temptation because we're living in the reign, the rule of God. And also because Jesus says, those who love my Father will obey him, just as I love my Father and obey him. And Jesus says a profound truth, and he says, guys, if you want to remain, if you want to experience the depth of my Father's love, then keep his commandments. And so he begins to teach us. You want to see the rule of God in your life increase. You want to see the rule of God, the authority of God begin to be established wherever you go. Just with your love for my Father, just keep in obedience to him. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit, in other words. And you begin to live in the reality of being loved by the Father. And so you're able now to release that love that is in us, because it's the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So we've been looking at that for the last 3 weeks, I think it's been. So Jesus is speaking, and here, dealing with the body of Christ, he's dealing with, in the translations, I often use the word church and things like that over here. But he goes on and he starts to speak about the kingdom authority. He's dealing with the authority that we as believers have in the kingdom of God. And so if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. And so he's starting to share how it operates as well when it comes to the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and he says here in verse 18, in the context of the message of the kingdom, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So again here he's saying to the guys, here in the body of Christ, you have authority within the body of Christ. And so he's saying now, guys, you have the keys of the kingdom. So what has been allowed, my Father's will, you now have the authority to release my Father's will. But also, you have the authority, if my Father says that's not my will, it must have been done, you have the authority to forbid that from taking place. Okay, so that's now the reality that we have as children of God living in the kingdom. Okay, in that Matthew 16, as we looked at the other day, when Jesus said to Peter that you are really blessed because you've received a revelation of who I am from my heavenly Father. And so here we have an amazing truth, because Jesus says over here, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on the rock, and on this rock I will build my church. There again, it's the word ecclesia. It's not what we understand in our modern understanding of what church is. It's called the ecclesia. And the ecclesia is not a religious word. Ecclesia is a political word in classical Greek in that time. Ecclesia is when you have a town and there's citizens that are called out to govern the affairs of a town. That's ecclesia. It's political. We have been called out of darkness, brought into the kingdom of God. So when we come together, we gather, we're the called out ones, we come together to govern the affairs of the kingdom. That's our calling, guys. You see, so now the advance of the kingdom of God in our communities and our nation depends on us coming together and saying, now, we are here called together to govern your affairs, Father. See, it's a different thing. See, that's why the understanding of church has diluted the authority that we have in the kingdom. The reality of church has placed the authority on, say, you have to be ordained, whatever it may be. Yes, there's this leadership and all that there. But we're looking at kingdom. Jesus came and proclaimed the message of the kingdom. And now we need to understand that when we come together as citizens of the kingdom, we come here to understand what's the Father's affairs, what's the will of the Father, and we want to now be involved in allowing and disallowing, binding or loosing. That's our calling. So now we begin to understand when Paul starts to speak about our warfare is not against flesh and blood. We understand the reality of the armor of God. We begin to understand when Peter says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We begin to understand why there's always opposition against people that come together and say, we've come here, we've gathered together, called out ones in the citizens of the kingdom to be involved with the affairs of our Father in his kingdom here on earth. And so that's why Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Ecclesia. That's the prayer of the ecclesia. Why does he carry on? And he says, now let's carry on. Father, you know, provide us with our daily bread. And he goes on and says, but Father, we ask for your kingdom. We, the ecclesia, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Because all the time as we come together and we want to now begin to, Lord, we want to be involved in governing, involved with the affairs of your kingdom now, we know that the dominion of darkness will try and stop that. That's why the spiritual gifts are so important, to encourage the ecclesia, not the church, the ecclesia. To build up the ecclesia, not the church, not the institution. We, the called out ones, the believers in Christ Jesus, need to have an understanding. The believers throughout our nations, we've been called out of the dominion of darkness. We're in the kingdom of God. And now we come together. Father, what is your agenda? What's your will? so that we can be involved with the authority you've given us here on earth to release and decree and to walk in your ways and to implement your will. Kingdom people, ecclesia people. Okay, so again, when you read the scriptures and you see the word church in the scriptures, remember it's a governmental purpose. It's a called out ones out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of His Son Jesus, whom He loves, and we have redemption through the blood of Jesus. We're in that kingdom, and we're now involved in governing the kingdom's affairs. Okay, so we go on and we see in verse 6 in chapter 18 again. So Jesus speaks to them, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose will be loosed in heaven. We need to believe that. We need to believe that, guys. See, and so if it's not a reality yet, this is when we go and we spend time. Father, I need to have a faith that I know it's from you. I need to be able to know that when you say something, this is what your will is there. I can walk in that there, knowing that I've got your full divine backing behind me to be able to do what I'm doing. And that, so we need to have the faith there. And then he says in verse 19, and this is the practical side we would like to go into here. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Okay? Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, that word agree is to harmonize, it's to be so one in heart and mind, and you're synced together, about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. So now we are the called out ones, and we come together and we say, okay, Father, we are together called out to be involved with your kingdom affairs. What is your will? Can we get into an agreement of what the will of the Father is? And when we are synced, when we are one, when we are in harmony, whatever we ask for, our Father will do it. Authority. So no matter what the other kingdoms are saying, and the political kingdoms or the economic kingdoms, whatever it may be, the education kingdom, you name it, entertainment kingdom, doesn't matter what's taking place over there. We are in a kingdom, and from last week you saw there that Daniel's prophecy that out of this rock, all those kingdoms, out of the rock, not cut out by hand, the incredible virgin birth of Jesus Christ, here comes a kingdom that will grow and grow and grow, that will destroy all the other kingdoms. This is the kingdom that we're in. Jesus, in his birth, he brings in this kingdom. That's why he spoke about the kingdom of God. Everything was about the kingdom, because he is the one that fulfilling the Daniel prophecy. And we're in that. But he goes on and he says over here, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. I want to start there. Where two or three come together in my name. In other words, where two or three come together, in is union. It's not just coming to a meeting. It's we coming because we are in Christ Jesus and we've come to honor Him. So everything that we're doing it because of our union with a relationship. We yoked with Jesus. We've come together. Jesus, He comes and He's going to be doing the Father's will so that the Father is glorified. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that my Father is glorified. So now Jesus invites us and he says, guys, whenever you come together in my name, I'm with you. Now let's ask the question. Is Jesus our brother? Important question. Is Jesus our brother? Hebrews. Let's quickly look at Hebrews chapter 2. There's many scriptures to tell us that he is our brother, but here's the one that's very plain. Speaking about Jesus and putting everything under him, this is Jesus Christ. God left nothing that is not subject to him. And then we carry on. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation, this is Jesus, perfect through suffering, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family, so that Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Okay? He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I, and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free the power of the blood, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery, this is the redemption we've been speaking about, by the fear of death. For surely it is not the angels he helps, but Abram's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is also able to help those who are being tempted. So I think we can agree with Scripture that we are related, we are brothers and sisters. Our Lord Jesus is our heavenly brother. He's our real brother in the family of God. Okay. Now the next question. Is Jesus the King of Kings? Important question to understand this authority that we have in the kingdom of God. He's our brother, but he's also the King of Kings. If Jesus, and he is the King of Kings, guess what? We are royalty. Guess what? We belong to the royal family. See, and that needs to become real to all of us. Because no longer are we just normal citizens. Now we realize our identity in Christ Jesus. He is our brother. He is the King of Kings. So we are now involved. We are now born into royalty. So now we live as royalty in the Father's kingdom. And Jesus says, a great commission I give you. All authority and power has been given to me in heaven and earth, and a great commission I give to you. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, teach him everything that I've taught you, for surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Jesus says, where two or three come in my name, there I am with you. So all of a sudden now, the assembly, that's why we must get rid of a church mindset that we understand in our current understanding. Ecclesia, the governing body, this incredible called out ones from the dominion of darkness in this kingdom of God. And now we're with the King. We are royalty. Now we're in the position, Father, what is your will? Because now we're in the royalty, and you've said your kingdom must advance. Daniel prophesied that your kingdom's going to advance and never going to end. We are part of that advancement. Now we've come to govern your affairs of your kingdom because we want to see your kingdom advancing. It's a different mindset now. It's a different heart. It's a different focus. And all of a sudden, we're not involved in just building our own little kingdoms. Now we're involved, Father, in something far bigger and far greater and fulfilling, and gives you so much purpose. Because now we're involved to see the Father's incredible plan for all humanity become a reality. And now we understand the power of the blood of Jesus. How powerful is the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus. So that we can be involved in the Father's will, because the Father's will was made known through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He taught the kingdom. So now we begin to understand the Father's will. We just have to look at Jesus and we see what Jesus was doing. Oh, Father, this is your will. Now we begin to understand when Jesus says, now He has an incredible promise. When two or three come in My name and you can agree what My Father's will is all about, there He's going to do it. And I'm with you, the King of Kings. I have all the power and all authority over all. The Father's given it to Me, Jesus says to the disciples. And I'm with you. The peace I give to you is not the peace the world gives you. Take heart, I've overcome this world. We're advancing the kingdom of God. That's why we are not people that look at this, look what's happening in our country. I get so excited because you can see the reality of the kingdom manifest, and the political kingdoms are beginning to shake. They're being shaken like crazy. And as believers, we have the authority to say, Father, what is your will for the political arena? What's your will for government? Show us your will. Let us become in unity, what you're wanting to establish in South Africa, because the blood of Christ has purchased this nation. Right now, it's belonging to the demonic realm. The government gave it to the ancestors in the demonic Shangoma and witchcraft, etc. But the blood of Jesus said, wakes up, it takes us as the ecclesia. Father, no, we understand over the past couple of months, you've shown us that the blood of Christ has redeemed, paid the price. The blood speaks about belonging, ownership. And the blood fell on the ground. The blood fell on the people. The blood has been shed. Now we can come and say, God, no longer. So you'll get a lot of prayer requests coming out now that's based on fear. No. No, don't respond and go into the panic of fear because of what all this is taking place. No. God has already shown. We've already made decrees. We walk now. We put into practice coming together. Father, what's your will for this nation? And we start to release that. We start to walk in it. We get involved. Our part, whatever that may be, where Jesus leads us, we follow. Because He's with us and we yielded to Him. We yoked with Him. So it's an exciting time for us as the Ecclesia. Most people now will be worried about the rand dollar exchange and the pensions. Ouch. No, we're in a kingdom. We have a King that's eternal, that reigns over all. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added. That will now become real to us when things crash. We will live, and you'll discover that that truth is more real than the bank balance. It's a bit shaky, eh? But He's given us the keys of the kingdom. What is His will? So this morning, as Jesus invites us now to start bringing this into practice, He says over here, I tell you, so He's already told us before somewhere along their journey, again I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask, for it will be done for you by My Father in heaven. And that agreement is right just after He says what the Father's will is, release what the Father doesn't want to take place, you forbid. So it's in the context of all of this. So it's not just our own will, what we want over there. It's our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Anything you ask for, it will be done. Not it may be done, it will be done. It's very plain. for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." Jesus is the Amen of the Father. Are you ready to pray this morning? Let's ask a few questions to help. I think most of us are in, I think all of us are in agreement that when Paul is writing to Timothy and he says to Timothy to make intercession for all people, pray, give your petitions for all people, and then he carries on, and that includes those in authority. And he carries on, because this is my Father's will, that none should perish, but all have eternal life. So I think all of us know that this is the Father's will for all of mankind, to be reconciled to Him through His Son Jesus Christ and live loved by the Heavenly Father, have eternal life, and to be born again, in other words. Okay? So in the specifics, and he goes on over there and he says over there, so that people may live peaceful and quiet lives. Now that peaceful and quiet lives is not surrounding peaceful and quiet lives. It's an internal peace and quietness. Being born again, in other words. So we know that in our, when we come, let's say we pray that this morning, we know that when we come in the name of Jesus, we're in agreement, Father, that it's your will for all people to be saved in this nation and the nations, whatever it may be that we're going to pray about. I think we all agree that if we pray that prayer, Father says, I'm going to do it. Jesus says, the Father will do it. Who's going to disciple them? You see, it's also the will of the Father. Jesus says, pray for the laborers. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Who's going to be involved in sharing the gospel to all who want all the will of God for all to be saved? See, so if we want to see the will of God manifesting greater than ever before, here I am, God. Here I am. And it's a lifestyle that we step into. So this becomes our new way of living. Today, Father, wherever I may be, show me your involvement so that your kingdom can advance. So when you see something negative or hear something negative, the Father is showing you. Someone asked me the other day, because they're going through a tough time. And when a person's very into the dark area of depression, it's self all the time. It's very hard to see beyond the pain and that kind of thing. But slowly they're coming out of it, and now their growth will be now that, because if they had to do an exercise and say, okay, how many hours a day are you consumed in your mind about yourself and your problem? And it's normally like 99% of the time. You see? Because that's why you get depressed. Self is not a pleasant person sometimes, because it's so, you know, you need the new creation, then you've got a good self in Christ Jesus. But so, the exercise will now be this, okay? You're so focused and you're spending so much time about this area, it's your husband or your wife that's that's the in-laws or whatever, you're blaming everybody, etc., etc., and that over there. Stop for a moment and take note of those emotions. Take note of what you're feeling and sit down and say, but Lord, this is the time that you and I are in school together, because now you're going to teach me that these emotions, you're going to show me how to get the victory over it, how to overcome this. So all of a sudden, instead of blaming, now that pain, that there, it now becomes a place where you're going to grow personally. Personal growth with Jesus. So they will experience a reality of Jesus that someone that's not, does not have depression will never be able to experience. So that they're able to help other people, because they know the reality. So find Jesus, the King of Kings, our brother, in the problem that you and I see. Find him there and experience him over there. You'll find you'll see things differently. So, is there anyone here, because we want to just go, break up in twos or threes, just to put this into practice. Is there anyone here that knows this is the will of Father, that may be amongst children? You may know, Father, you know, this is your will about the abused children of our nation or our town. This is your will about the power of addiction. This is your will about, poverty. This is your will, whatever it may be. It might be specific areas in your life that you're just starting to get pulled, and you're starting to find you're getting an interest into this area, and you want to see the rule, the reign, the will of God in those specific areas. Has anybody got something that you can want to just share? That you know this is the will of God. Because it might be someone else has got the same. You two then come together. Today you ask the Father what you need. You ask the Father to bring that about. See, we want to come a lifestyle of two coming together, three coming together in the name of our Lord Jesus, so that we can govern the affairs of the kingdom in our town, in our nation. Anybody brave could want to share what they know? This is the will of God. Maybe in the area of arts and entertainment. It could be in the area of sports. It could be in the area of business, politics. Could be in the area of the media. Many, many areas. Yeah. That you know. I see a lot of darkness here, but God has started to show me what his kingdom looks like here. And you might feel that you're just alone and you need another one to join you to pray together this morning. See how hard it is to start thinking kingdom. It's not natural. I'm busy teaching in the area of solving problems. And so, we go through that whole 5-wire process and that. And everybody's got all the stuff there, but now let's start looking at a solution. And there's dead silence. Because it's not a lifestyle to solve problems. It's a lifestyle to blame. It's a lifestyle, But to solve problems is not a lifestyle. We're in the kingdom. Now we want to bring in God's solution. His problem-solving solution for humanity. All quiet. Otherwise, I'll give you. I'm just wanting to see if you guys... Yeah. Yes, mate? Okay. Is there anybody else that wants to, that feels that's connected to people just burn out with the pressures of life, really, and on that treadmill of success and performance and burning out. Yeah. Oh. If you had to ask the Father for something now, what will you ask Him? So there's, again, we've got an amazing promise, because the Father's will, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know the real God, the Father, and the Son, Jesus. And to know is that to enter into the quality of God's incredible life. So the way we think is now influenced by the quality of God's life in this mind of ours. And so there's a huge journey of, Father, as you say, the revelation. Your answer through Jesus for or and the Holy Spirit was, that's the discernment and the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives. So yeah. So is there anyone that wants to just join and maybe three, four, whatever it may, with Esme and agreeing for that? Are you Looks like you've got Don't you want to just sit together? Anybody come around whatever or wherever there and begun to pray. Okay. Is there anybody else? For some, remember the gifts of healing, it's plural. It's not one particular gift. So some may have, want to be involved in the gift of healing the depressed, the gift of healing the sexually abused, the gift of healing the burnout, whatever it may be. See, that's part of the gift, gifting, the healing giftings that we speak about. Is anybody else that's got anything more specific? That because it could be someone here that's saying, man, I wish someone... Yeah. Yes. 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 That's right. Yes. Yeah. No, it's very true that. No. Anybody else that connects with that? That you'd like to? Because it's very much, as you say, with the reality of depression and just burnout and identity. Yeah. That can connect over there. Yeah. See all the Cecil workers, they all know them. Good. Then I'll join you because that's an important one over there. Anybody else? It's got any specific? Okay, so the general one, and you guys might just with one another sit with each other there, it's God's will all to be saved. So we can pray for, remember Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will go and convict people of the unbelief, of the sin of unbelief. So we know the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but also for the laborers. So if you're praying for people of a nation for salvation, you know there that We need workers. We also know there that the revelation for the spiritual leaders is a big part, so that the spiritual leaders, we understand ecclesia, and we get free from church mindset that it's been for probably about 500 years, no more, 800 years or so. It's been so established in the lifestyle. Okay. Good. Let's then pray together.